Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm your host, Kyle McKinnon. In this week's edition of Enlighten Me, we pay another visit to the University of Delaware to highlight work from student journalists, pieces produced by UD Communication students for a class taught by Nancy Karabjanian, longtime First State journalist, director of UD's journalism program, and one of the founders of Delaware Public Media. And we start with rising senior Megan Ciano's piece on secondary trauma in journalism.
This is as close as we can get to the base of the World Trade Center. You can see the firemen assembled here, the police officers, FBI agents, and you can see the two towers, a huge explosion now raining debris on all of us. We better get out of the way.
Think about where you were when you heard about 9/11, the Parkland shooting.
We can't get to her. We can't get a hold of her.
Have you called and you've texted and nothing has come back?
The spread of COVID-19. Maybe you were in your home, out with a friend, enjoying time with your family. These events change the way we go about our everyday lives. Think about who was there witnessing it, reporting it, living it. Secondary trauma in journalism has been an issue since the birth of the industry, but is now only starting to get the attention it deserves.
There's been that kind of masculine logic of journalism for many, many, many decades, where it's like you're supposed to be objective and, you know, just state the facts. And being objective means you're very logical and strong. You know, you don't get yourself emotionally involved.
Barbara Lay is a professor in the University of Delaware's Department of Communication and Women and Gender Studies, who's been teaching about secondary trauma in her classes for years. But only recently is journalism a part of that conversation.
And as that way of thinking about journalism has gotten, I think, problematized over the past few decades, you know, what does objectivity mean? Can you really distance yourself from stories?
WJZ reporter Kelsey Kushner, UD class of 2016, says that distancing yourself from a story is not what the business is about.
We're human beings doing a job. And if anybody can go out there and not feel anything while you have a parent on the other end of the camera, you know, crying about losing a child, I feel like that says a lot more about, you know, you as than they can. You don't have emotion, but everybody does. And I feel like it's okay to be upset about something that's upsetting.
While working in Florida in February 2018, Kushner covered the Parkland shootings and says it altered her brain chemistry.
Out tonight, there were friends, family members, students. They brought flowers, they brought candles to honor those 17 victims and to begin to heal together as one.
She still remembers the screaming and crying of parents trying to find and reunite with their children, and footage the public never had to witness.
I saw the videos that were never posted on TV because they can't be posted. It was way too graphic, but I could tell you right now, I could describe to you what the inside of that school looks like. And I could tell you like the amount of student bodies that were laying on the ground that kids had to walk over just to leave.
But even after leaving the school, Kushner found herself anxiously refreshing the long page of victims to see if the family she interviewed lost their daughter.
You know, more names were coming out with like every hour you're finding out, you know, somebody who died was just identified. And I couldn't sleep because I wanted to make sure that that family's daughter was not on that list. And sure enough, her name popped up at 4 a.m.
Many journalists who cover traumatic events like Parkland experience these signs of secondary trauma, like Kushner's insomnia and anxiety, without even realizing what it means. Common symptoms of secondary trauma can include rapid heartbeat, sweating, panic attacks, headaches, nausea, chest pain, and even becoming numb to the situation and shutting down. WTKR News 3 journalist Aaron Miller experienced this exact phenomena.
It's lofty on your shoulders, and I don't think I've processed those moments until days, weeks after, because in the moment your adrenaline is rushing and you're just so focused on telling the story and getting all of the information correct that you don't really give yourself time to come down from it.
Despite all the burnout and risk associated with the job, a 2022 study from the U.S. Bureau of Labor found that most journalists would choose their career all over again, even knowing the difficulties they will face.
The job became 10 times more important to me after covering the Parkland school shooting because I saw the need and the desire to tell people stories who may not be able, may not have been able to do so before then.
Kushner views journalism as a platform for the speechless, inspiring her to continue telling the difficult stories and give a voice to those without one, while fellow journalist Aaron Miller sees it as an opportunity to embrace every story.
I think it makes me have an appreciation for life more, because you're surrounded by all of these tough things. We're also surrounded by so much beauty. And so I think it really helps me see the distinction between, yeah, there are all these bad things that happen, but for every bad thing that happens, there's three others.
So how can these feelings of secondary trauma be reduced or eliminated within newsrooms? Miller believes the answer starts with classrooms having conversations discussing the reality of the job, like weird hours, working holidays, and having to move across the country.
I think that sometimes universities and colleges are so worried about teaching curriculum that they forget to teach real life, real situation, what it's like to actually be in the newsroom.
There are ways to mitigate the trauma for journalists. Professor Lay agrees, stating that universities have a responsibility to have these difficult conversations about workplace trauma. It all starts with educating yourself and finding the best ways to practice self-care.
Really put up your scaffoldings of of self-care, not just like what do you do when you're really stressed out, but how can you create healthy self-care routines preventatively, right? To kind of increase those buffers of well-being to help you mitigate some of the stress.
But both Kushner and Miller acknowledge that newsrooms are heading in the right direction, offering massages, days off from work, and providing licensed professionals to talk to after reporting on such an event.
None of us need to bear the weight of these stories on our own shoulders. And I think that you become a better journalist when you go through it, you acknowledge it, you share what's wrong or how it's affecting you. And then once you do that, then you can kind of move forward and move on to the next story.
Reporting for UD News, I'm Megan Ciano.
Thanks to Rising Senior Megan Ciano for her reporting. And we close with another Rising Senior in Megan George, who reports on how students are getting creative with how they pursue their passions.
As Professor Leo Goikman teaches different variations to his beginner's ballet class, some students naturally stand out. Within the group of students new to the art of ballet are some who have known it their whole lives, experienced dancers who are reigniting a passion for college credit.
They're able to think on their feet very well in real time. They have good physical awareness. They have physical intelligence that some folks who have never had specifically a dance class lacks.
For some, it is a chance to find the fulfillment they can't find in their usual academic schedule.
Some folks come back to dance after a long hiatus, let's call it, or they want to just continue. Since dance is so much of a time commitment when you're young, it's a shame to throw it all away when you get to college and you focus on something else, so they want to just keep it going and use what they learned.
Leo also points out how dancers may be drawn to his class for the physical aspect of it, which can't be found in other classes, or just to hear the relaxing, nostalgic music.
You can go and hear nice music every day. It's sometimes as simple as that. You get away from the drone of your everyday class and you go and dance to some beautiful music.
Shoulders back. Open up. Nice long tongue to the side. Find your balance first.
Junior Ella Gualtieri says that while she loves her academic studies, there has always been something missing. With a passion for dance, Ella is one of several experienced dancers who chose to take a beginner's dance class as part of her course schedule.
I'm a biomedical engineering major with a minor in disability studies. I take a lot of really technical STEM classes for my major, which is one of the reasons that my minor is centered more in the humanities, because I couldn't deal with just doing STEM 100% of the time.
Between her major and minor, Ella says she doesn't get a chance to embrace her creative side. She tried joining a dance team on campus, but it didn't work out.
A lot of the other dance clubs demand hours that I just can't give up due to my academics. They just take too much time away from studying and homework, so I definitely do miss it.
So when she saw she could take a dance class to satisfy a university requirement, she leaped at the opportunity.
My new class reminds me a lot of the classes that I took in high school. So it's kind of like a blast from the past. It's a class that I always look forward to going to way more than any of my other classes.
Both Ella and Leo commend the university for giving students a chance to follow their passions inside the classroom.
Especially when budget issues start, it's one of the first things to be cut. It was a lot of times one of the first things to be cut during COVID, and they kept it going. We kept it going online. So it's a pleasure for me to be here and teach these students who otherwise may not have been exposed to this.
Yeah, to improve. Well done, folks. I will see you Monday.
Thank you.
For the University of Delaware News, I'm Megan George.
Thanks to rising seniors Megan Ciano and Megan George, a pair of Megans there, for enlightening us this week on the green with their campus stories.